Sweet Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that.
Right, welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, May 12th, 2021. Just to move on from this, I don't know who the other guy is. Kevin Mitnick is definitely the one. And so speaking of Kevin Mitnick, whose kung fu is stronger than yours, from his Wikipedia entry, in his 2002 book, The Art of Deception, Mitnick states that he compromised computers solely by using passwords and codes that he gained by social engineering. He claims he did not use software programs or hacking tools for cracking passwords or otherwise exploiting computer or phone security. And, you know, he's talked about that in various interviews over the years. He teaches that you can go on YouTube and hear him talking about that kind of stuff even these days. But I don't know. That's kind of an interesting thing. Gosh, I wish I could remember who the other guy is. It's going to bug me. So back to the other stuff. Tucker Carlson has been doing some interesting stuff lately. And yesterday was no exception. I think every segment was pretty fantastic. But here's the thing. I mean, it's pretty fantastic in a sense. This gets back to the question. I think it was Chris in Virginia, right? Do you think people are waking up? Well, there is a planned, you know, as many people have talked about, you know, bad guys from generations ago to, you know, folks trying to navigate the matrix and, you know, not be blind themselves and help their fellow travelers, their fellow sojourners, if you will, not be blind as well. Hopefully we're not the blind leading the blind. Hopefully we're not the misguided, misguiding others. That would not be good. But, you know, as folks have talked about, there is a certain amount of disclosure that is intended so that bad guys can basically turn the world evil in a simple sense. You know, there was a gentleman who wrote the book that was Tucker Carlson's guest. I think that was the last segment that he did. Interesting the stuff that this guy is talking about. You know, the traditions. He says, which I remember guy's name, I'll think of that too. Note to self, what was his name? Book name. So the guy says, you know, I started writing this book a couple of years ago. My son is 4 now. I started writing the book when he was 2. And I wrote it because I'm concerned about what's happening in America. What does he say? Traditions, remembering traditions in a time of chaos. I forget exactly what the title of the book is. Anyway, he's saying, you know, we were sold this bill of goods. The sales pitch was to get rid of these traditions will liberate us. Ah, the cultural Marxists and the nihilists. Pike saying we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. We shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm. So he says, you know, I've been concerned. I'm watching this. I think he's a New York Post reporter, if memory serves. And he says, you know, we were told, for example, you know, this gender liberation deal would free people. Instead, now we have, you know, pronoun nonsense and gender dysphoria and things. It's not liberating. Same way, you know, the Sabbath, liberation from the Sabbath, was really freedom for the corporations to abuse people further. Not really freedom for people. It's just more oppressive. And this is a very interesting point. But these, again, echo points that have been made on this broadcast and this network for decades. And, you know, others have made those points even before that. So I wonder how much of it is sort of allowed in the fashion of, you know, revelation of the method to predictably turn everyone evil. Here's what's going on. And so one of the things that I appreciate about William the most is, you know, he told us about some of the experiences that he had in life that were one in a million kind of experiences. And he had quite a few of those. And what you see oftentimes when someone encounters folks who are very sinister and very diabolical and very Machiavellian in their efforts to mislead people, and as Nesta Webster put it, guide a blind man into a ditch and tell the blind man, hey, I'm going to free you. This is liberation, buddy. It's not uncommon when someone has that experience that they harbor some latent animosity and hostility. You know, Emperor Palpatine, you know, let the hate consume you kind of thing. And that's, I would say, predictable as well. It's okay. You know, you just can't, you can't center on the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, Galatians 5:22. You can't do that. That's not okay. Anything else is okay. You can be beguiled and misled, or you can realize you've been beguiled and misled, as long as you harbor the animosity and hostility, and you know, you try to take revenge yourself. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Those things are all fine and predictable. But you know, William was a person who I think, you know, so Ted Kaczynski is a guy that William and I talked about, for example. Ted, you know, was victimized by you know, generally speaking, the Harvard psilocybin project and the psychological experiments that were being conducted on people unbeknownst to them. And so, you know, Ted Kaczynski, in simple terms, was saying to his former colleagues in academia, you guys know what you're doing is wrong. You shouldn't be doing it. The way he went about, you know, sending that message, probably not, you know, as effective as you might like. His manifesto is published for all the world to read, and yet how many people actually read it and know what he was saying? He wouldn't have been caught. He basically gave himself up. There's the reminder, you know, his brother recognized his writing. Well, if he wouldn't have published that, no one ever would have caught him, which I think tells you a little bit about the FBI. They're not really catching terrorists, as Trevor Aronson tells us. They're creating them, been busy creating them really since the beginning for various different reasons. But you know, Ted Kaczynski's reaction is not surprising versus William in Montana, who, you know, you hear you're supposed to be victimized and beguiled, and if you realize you've been beguiled, you're supposed to hate, let the hate consume you. And someone like William says, wow, that's interesting. It just carries on with childlike faith and innocence. That's remarkable. So, you know, hopefully we do not descend into the ranks of the nihilists and the atheists and become, you know, the enemy, so to speak. Hopefully not that. Anyway, without further ado, here was the intro monologue that Tucker did last night. Go ahead, please.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. A lot of unprecedented things happening, but honestly, not all of them are shocking. For example, it probably shouldn't surprise you that once they got their hands on real power, the same lunatics who don't believe in human biology immediately made a serious mess of our economy. It took them less than 6 months to do it. First, they acted like the U.S. dollar had no value. They spent money like they just printed it for the occasion, which, needless to say, they had. And predictably, we wound up with frightening levels of inflation, which, for the record, they still deny exists. But inflation does exist, as you know well if you live here. Corn prices, to name just one example of a staple commodity that is now out of control, have risen by 50% just since January. But that wasn't bad enough. The lunatics then decided to make it even worse than that. So they paid millions of Americans more than they make at work just to stay home and do nothing. To justify doing this, they used the word COVID quite a bit, but it had nothing to do with the pandemic. They just wanted to break the system, and so they did. And the rest of us immediately wound up with a bewildering combination of rising unemployment in the middle of a severe labor shortage. So at the very same time, we found ourselves with too many workers and also too few workers. That doesn't even make sense. But thanks to their policies, that's now exactly what we have. And then finally, in case 2021 didn't remind you enough of a grimmer version of the 1970s, we now have serious gas shortages in a country that was recently energy independent. All along the east coast of the country today, people couldn't fill up their cars. Take a look at the footage. It looks like Venezuela.
Gas shortages now being reported in at least six states and expected to grow, stretching down the highways as customers wait at the pumps. The governor of North Carolina has declared a state of emergency. The station there running out of fuel.
As pumps run dry and officials urge drivers not to panic buy.
We are completely out of diesel and gas.
But already long lines and low fuel gauges.
The shutdown of the pipelines also putting major airports in Baltimore, Charlotte, and others on the East Coast at risk of low supply.
An emergency? No. If they ran out of weed, that would be an emergency. Don't worry, says the New York Times. None of this is real. It's a conspiracy theory. Your eyes are lying to you. You're hysterical. In a piece today, the New York Times reported that, quote, since the pipeline shutdown, there have been no long lines at gas stations. Then apparently someone in the New York Times newsroom found a working television, and the paper deleted that line from the article a few hours later without ever acknowledging it had included the line in the first place. That was the paper. But for their readers on social media, who presumably will believe absolutely anything, the New York Times did not even bother to change the lie. That tweet is still up. Quote, since the shutdown, there have been no long lines or major price hikes for gasoline. Right, none at all. Except in the state of Georgia, where as of 3 p.m. this afternoon, almost 6% of all gas stations had no gasoline. In Virginia, that number was almost 8% of all gas stations. In North Carolina, it was 8.5%. In metro Atlanta, the biggest city in the South, more than 20% of all gas stations, more than a fifth, had no gasoline to sell. That is an energy crisis. Why is it happening? Well, the official explanation is that some mysterious gang of cyber criminals hacked the software at a major American fuel supplier called Colonial Pipeline. Colonial Pipeline handles more than 2 million barrels a day. That's roughly half the East Coast's entire supply of diesel, gasoline, and jet fuel. And that's not a small problem in a country, like every country on Earth, that still relies almost entirely on fossil fuels to survive. But don't worry, says her new energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, formerly the incompetent governor of Michigan, quote, it's not that we have a gasoline shortage, it's that we have the supply crunch. Oh, it's a supply crunch, and that's very different from a shortage, at least in some theoretical way that's important to Jennifer Granholm. So what is the White House doing about this supply crunch that is not a shortage? Well, here's the answer from Ann Neuberger, who is the confirmed non-genius who somehow serves as the deputy national security advisor for cyber and emerging technologies.
So first, we recognize that victims of cyber attacks often face a very difficult situation, and they have to just balance often the cost-benefit when they have no choice with regard to paying a ransom. Colonial is a private company and will defer information regarding their decision on paying a ransom to them.
Would the administration offer any advice on whether or not to pay a ransom?
So typically that is a private sector decision, and the administration has not offered further advice at this time. Given the rise in ransomware, that is one area we're definitely looking at now to say what should be the government's approach to ransomware actors and to ransoms overall.
That's the person protecting you from the cyber criminals. Colonial Pipeline, Ann Neuberger would like to remind you, is a, quote, private company. And as a matter of principle, the White House does not get involved in the affairs of private companies, not unless private companies were to use the wrong pronoun in a sentence, in which case the FBI would arrive with a SWAT team and make televised arrests. But in cases where the mere fuel supply of the entire Eastern Seaboard is at stake, Ann Neuberger and her friends at the White House strongly prefer a hands-off approach. They're situationally libertarian that way. What is this about? Well, you know. On some level, let's be honest about it, the White House approves of this disaster. Yes, some gas stations are closed tonight, but soon enough, the lunatics plan to close all of them, close every gas station in the entire United States, shuttered forever, to make way for some new, as yet not quite defined, means of transportation that will magically replace the gasoline engines that we have used for more than 100 years. This is a green revolution, so who cares about some old pipeline? Remember that on his first day in office, Joe Biden shut down a pipeline. That's the first thing he did. It was the massive Keystone XL pipeline. Joe Biden didn't wait for mysterious hackers to shut it down. He shut it down himself, and more than 11,000 people lost their jobs. And by the way, gas prices went up. In case you haven't noticed, gas prices have never gone down. In the state of California, the average price of a gallon of gasoline is over $4. A year ago, it was $2.70. In Illinois, gas is $3.20 a gallon. Last year, it was $2.10. It's not just two big liberal states, it's the entire country. In Texas, gas prices are averaging $2.70 a gallon. Last year, it was $1.50. In the state of Maine, the average price of gas is almost $3. A year ago, it was under $2, and so on. Nationally, Americans are paying about $45 billion more for gasoline overall than they were last year. Why? This is the result of policy decisions made by the new administration. This is the Green New Deal. We've got it already. And if you love gas shortages and electricity blackouts, no air conditioning, $80 plywood, this is the program for you. Tomorrow, the administration's Bureau of Labor Statistics will release the new official numbers on inflation in America. You should know that a key part of that statistic is called the Consumer Price Index. And the Consumer Price Index measures the prices of a carefully curated selection of goods and services. And if tomorrow's Consumer Price Index number is flat, rest assured the people on TV will tell you it is proof that inflation isn't real. Should you believe them? Well, before you take their word, take note of what is not included in the official Consumer Price Index. Lumber, for example, because no one in America buys building materials. So you should definitely ignore this.
In a recent study by Fortune.com, the average price of lumber is now 280% higher than what it was pre-pandemic, which is causing the cost of construction to also increase 30 to 40%. In a statement from the division president for Homes by Town, Jeff Pemstein, he says for a typical 1,500 square foot home, just rough lumber used for framing has increased from $14,000 per home to $29,000.
280% up. Wow, Marge, that's a lot. What's going on here? Well, typically, in the material world, where the laws of nature apply, when the price of something jumps that quickly and that high, you've got a supply problem because it's supply and demand. There just isn't enough of that thing to go around. More people want it, and we don't have enough of it. Does that apply to lumber? Are there fewer spruce trees out there than there were a year ago? Are those trees growing more slowly than they once did? Have we seen a 280% increase in new houses being built?
And
the answer
we'll be right
is no,
back.
No, and no.
The answer is no, no, and no. So what is it? We'll hear when we come back. Stick around.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. All right, let's finish this segment and then we'll go to the phones. Go ahead, please.
Houses being built? The answer is no, no, and no. The real answer, as you may have guessed, is that bad federal policies are distorting the price of everything in this country, from 2x4s to diesel fuel to corn dogs. None of this is an accident, just as it wasn't an accident when the power went out in Texas over the winter. It wasn't a cold snap that did it. It was a federal policy that encouraged the state to rely on windmills, which don't actually work. So it's not a natural cycle. Somebody did this to us on purpose. Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube.
None of this was an accident. That's the big salient takeaway. But it's sort of overshadowed by the whatever you call it. You know, reducing what's happening, reducing the severity to comedy. And this is not humorous. This is not comedic. James, sorry we missed you. Feel free to call back. Sorry about that. And I dare say, I mean, there's an aspect of this that's good, saying, hey, this is, you know, none of this is an accident. This is very intentional. And I forget the journalist. What's his name? Apparently I can't remember much today. I guess it's one of those days. The guy who wrote the book and was a guest. And so they were talking about this, these things that are not accidental, the policies that, you know, we hear about the Green New Deal, but it's being implemented by policy, you know, by fiat through, you know, via federal agency, essentially, which is the administrative fourth branch way. That's not news. And so there's an aspect of this that's important to cover. However, it's fascinating to me, the lack of curiosity. And apparently Americans need hand-holding on things like how to divest themselves of their Amazon addiction. This is insane. So I'm wondering, was the World War II generation the last generation of adults in America? I just can't stop harming myself. I don't know what's wrong with me. I mean, you know, this sort of ties back to yesterday's broadcast, the cultural Marxists. They want to bring about the, as Adorno said, you know, the individual brings about his own disintegration. And that is a downward spiral, you know, which will produce more of like, rinse and repeat, and hopefully you spread that to the mindless, bewildered herd. And people never wake up and say, gosh, why am I hurting myself? Why am I acting like a histrionic, schizophrenic sociopath? You can't self-diagnose. As Nikki Rapana pointed out, one of the provocative observations in Michael Sarian's article. So, but, you know, none of this is news. It's just astonishing. And you know, this seems to correlate to these biblical admonitions. Always learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. These kinds of things. At a certain point, maybe we just turn off the screens, pick up the old analog version of the Bible, you know, the batteries never go dead in it, and start reading the, what I call the self-replicating error-correcting code. It will, I mean, what does it say? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, that kind of thing. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That kind of thing. Self-replicating error-correcting code. And, you know, in Sarian's piece, he says, you know, these guys want to lead people down the path to oblivion. We're going to give you what you want, which is, you know, a straight trip, a straight path to oblivion. So my problem, you know, I hinted, my problem with him only is, you know, it's a good revelation of the method, so to speak, but what do you do about it? Well, I think in my humble estimation, what you do about it is what I just said. You know, you pick up the analog version of the Bible and maybe start in Proverbs or Romans or something. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. Okay. I'm getting it sorted a little bit. So, just to give you the names of folks, Tucker's guests. So, the first guest was Chuck DeVore, Texas Public Policy Foundation on the Specious Energy Crisis. Guest two was Dave Duquette, Western Justice President on the attack on beef. Those two are obviously related. And, I mean, it's all related. And I think that's, again, one of the salient takeaways. But how many people are curious? Gosh, these things sound related. That's interesting. I wonder what's going on. And Tucker is expanding his, I don't know, whatever you call it, influence, media footprint, all that kind of stuff. So I wonder what that's all about. And he's been very vocal about saying lately that he's not going anywhere. In fact, they're growing, and with the full support of his whatever publishers or whatever. Producers, I guess, is the term here. Guest number three was Alex Berenson. That's who it was. Speaking of the Fauci controversy and gain-of-function research, you know, Bill Gates has played in the beef stuff and, you know, referred to in a lot of this stuff, the gain-of-function research, you know. This is not news. The reporting, again, it's not news. This is stuff that's been discussed. Whitney Webb is one of the folks who's done some of the best reporting, I would say, on this subject. And so why is this suddenly considered revelatory? Gain-of-function research now is suddenly, you know, even Dr. Mark Siegel is saying, well, the origins of COVID are still, you know, it's still on the table. How exactly that happened, where it came from, this is not news. But people like Whitney Webb have been castigated as heretics. How dare you, ma'am? How dare you? I mean, and why are we even listening to Anthony Fauci? I think if we're going to use the PCR test, why don't we listen to its creator, Nobel Prize winner, Kerry Mullis, on Anthony Fauci? Why don't we listen to that? Have we seen that on mainstream television yet? Of course not. It's a rhetorical question. Why doesn't Rand Paul play that clip? Listen, Fauci, let me just, will you please silence his microphone? Okay, we're going to play what Kerry Mullis had to say about Anthony Fauci. And it's curious that Kerry Mullis had to, you know, take a dirt nap just before COVID. How convenient. So Alex Berenson was guest number three. Speaking of the Fauci, Rand Paul, the latest fiery whatever, which is always, you know, like I say, it reminds me of British Parliament. It's just good theater. Guest number four was Carol Markowitz, New York Post columnist, and she's going to tell us it's our patriotic duty not to shop at Amazon, or at least not quite so much, which I don't understand. You know, it's kind of like the conversation that Glenn and I had yesterday, you know, and again, that clip of Malcolm X. It is war. It's open war. Just because it's not kinetic, just because it's not hard power, just because it's not bombs dropping from the air and tanks rolling through Tiananmen Square, just because it's not guns being fired, does not mean it's not war. It's war. Larkin, Texas has reminded us for quite some time now, mimetic warfare is warfare. It's war. We've been at war for quite a while now. And I still don't remember who the host was who said it, you know, that America, basically your everything has been weaponized against you. It's war. Yes, they're, you know, there's no enemy that's attacking me directly. No, that's, it's more nefarious and sinister and subversive. And, you know, like that guy said back in 1961, you know, it relies on covert means or covet, whichever, either is appropriate, and guerrillas by night instead of, you know, I mean, don't we know? Don't we have sense to figure this out? Are we really that obtuse? we are in the belly of the beast. I mean, goodness sakes, you know, if Fred's point is well observed at all, we've institutionalized war here, and the average American has no idea, let alone the returning veterans. How are we so bad at the telephone game? Guys come back and say, you know, I'm astonished. Everybody who comes back from Army intelligence, don't they? I mean, I know you get, you know, debriefed or whatever, but doesn't somebody want to say, gosh, you know what? This, what's happening, what I'm watching, what I'm listening, this sounds a lot like what we were trained in and what we're conducting overseas. Huh. That's funny. We have to play that, you know? Guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. He said that 60 years ago. Right? We are posed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Does that sound familiar at all? My goodness, I'm glad that we defeated that monolithic and ruthless conspiracy. I'm so glad we don't have to worry about that anymore. Oh, wait. Everything he described sounds very familiar. But Chris, it's not bombs dropping out of the sky. No, it's guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. Just like that guy who got whacked in broad daylight at high noon said. Just like he said. Are we really that obtuse? Are we really that? Do we really suffer from that pervasive form of Stockholm syndrome? Do we really, America? Are we really that obtuse? Are we really that infantile and naive? This is, you know, to Fred's point, I mean, this is the belly of the beast. Where is war studied more than here in America? Where has it ever been studied more in the history of civilization? Where in recorded history can you find war studied more vociferously, if you will, than here in America? And yet, I mean, for what purpose? Yeah, but we would never, that would never be, you know, the guns would never be turned on us. The techniques of war and the tactics and things would never be deployed on the American people. Really? That's funny, because there was a guy who said something to that effect. He was considered the father of the Constitution. Though he said himself, I think that's sort of a dubious distinction. He said a standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger, you know, study war and all that kind of stuff, have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war when a revolt was apprehended. Throughout Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people. And, you know, that was institutionalized. Specifically, shall we say, in the National Security Act of 1947. The NME, the National Military Establishment, the enemy. No, it needs a sexier title, the Military Industrial Complex. There you go. How naive. So Senator Ron Johnson was Tucker Carlson's fifth guest on the vaccine controversy. Why does it have to be mandated? Because it's negative eugenics, stupid. That's why. We care about the children. That's why we murder them by the millions every year in America. Because we love the children. That's why. Oh, my gosh. Really? We are a criminally insane society. We've been driven criminally insane, and we are culpable in our criminal insanity. It's not okay. Last but not least, the author was Sohrab Ahmari, and his book was The Unbroken Thread. Sohrab Ahmari, who I believe is a New York Post author. But his book, The Unbroken Thread, Discovering the Wisdom of Traditions in an Age of Chaos. That was a great interview. I wonder if we can find that in time. I don't think so. I looked for it. I didn't see it. And, you know, I'll see if I can find that real quick. It was the final. He was guest number 6. And I thought that was fantastic. And I appreciate his book. Sohrab Ahmari. A very common American name. S-O-H-R-A-B. Sohrab. Last name Ahmari, Ahmari. The Unbroken Thread. New York Post editor Sohrab Ahmari's Strange Journey from Communist to Theocrat. That's a Daily Beast article. Sometimes reactionary politics are the only salutary path. Sohrab Ahmari tweeted about the newest of the many paths he's chosen. That was an article today. I think the reason why he's being attacked, there are very few character critics of Sohrab Ahmari, the Iranian-born op-ed editor of the New York Post, that he hasn't already leveled at himself. My moral opinions were as interchangeable as my clothing styles and musical tastes, 36-year-old Ahmari, a secular Shiite Muslim turned conservative Roman Catholic, writes in his latest book, The Unbroken Thread, Discovering the Wisdom of Tradition in an Age of Chaos. I could pick up and drop this ideology or that. I could be a high school goth, a college socialist, a law school neoconservative. I could dabble in drugs and build an identity around my dabbling. I could get a girlfriend, cheat on her, dump her willy-nilly, and build a pseudo-identity around that too. But he has emerged. This, you know, I'm not trying to put words in the guy's mouth, but based on my observation of his interview on Tucker Carlson tonight, last night, he has emerged from all of this with a realization that to me is on par with a Whitaker Chambers, with an Andrew Breitbart. You know, he has seen the top of the mountain, as it were, and realized that these were all, like he said, interchangeable little predilections that were, you know, part of the social engineering. Just pick one. Because as I say, Kool-Aid comes in a variety of flavors. I'm going to find this clip and we're going to play it, if I may. I don't mean to speak out of turn. I think this would be a very fitting conclusion to today's broadcast. I'm going to try to find it. Fingers crossed. It has to be. Somebody caught it somewhere. Is Google good for anything? Yeah, there's a transcript. I don't need the transcript. I need the video segment. No, that's not it. That's the same. Don't need that. I apologize. I'm trying to find this. Google, help me. What? No. You are defaming Google. Therefore, the Google police will put you in Google jail. The selfish ledger will tell you, Chris, that... I'm sorry, Dave, that interview doesn't exist. Well, goodness sakes. Just in the past 24 hours, please. Really? You know, I think that's telling. It's difficult for me to locate. Maybe he tweeted it. Boy, oh boy. So he, what I'm looking for is, the clip from last night, but, you know, he, during the interview, he said, you know, I wonder if I could just play it over my shoulder. I wonder if I could play it loud enough. Maybe I'll try to do that. He said that it was folks on the hard left and hard right, basically. So the neo-libs and neoconservatives. And he spent time in both of these camps, basically. So he's speaking from a position of knowledge. I'm just going to try to play this over my shoulder. Maybe we can do that. I'll just turn it up real loud. It's on the television. We'll try that. If it doesn't work, Madam Producer, could you just let me know, please? If this doesn't work, I'll try this. Let's see.
The biggest companies in America are thriving. Most Americans seem less happy. Why is that? Sarbar Mari, the New York Post, has thought a lot about it. He's author of The Unbroken Thread, Discovering the Wisdom of Tradition in an Age of Chaos. It is out today. He joins us tonight. Thanks so much for coming on. What is going on? And how can the average person respond to make himself and his own family an island of sanity in the midst of this chaos?
Well, thanks for having me on, Tucker. This is a book I wrote for my son, Max. He's now 4 years old. He was two when I started writing it. And it's because just as a father, I'm very concerned about the kind of world that he'll inherit. It's a world that makes elites incredibly self-serving, and it makes it very difficult for ordinary Americans to live just decent, virtuous lives like they used to be able to. And this world was created by a uniparty elite, a left establishment and a right establishment. They didn't ask us really to vote on it, but they promised us that if we got rid of a lot of our supposedly oppressive traditions, we would find liberation. But in fact, we find on the other side of it in retrospect that those traditions and those Judeo-Christian and classical ideals, actually, with the restraints they provided, they kept us free and sane, and the loss of the traditions has made us less free. So an obvious example is gender ideology. The idea that an individual gets to define who they are separate from what Genesis and genetics tell us about the embodied nature of sexuality. This was sold as liberation, but in practice, it's ended up in pronoun codes and an incredible amount of repression. A more economic example might be the loss of the idea of the Sabbath. Again, the kind of Chamber of Commerce type sold us on the idea that getting rid of our Sabbath traditions, which go back to colonial America and were intended to help workers and families have some time together, would free us. But in fact, it was freedom for large corporations, and it's made our own lives really harried and miserable.
That's exactly right. Well, sold as liberation turns out to be oppression. So, Amari, I hope we can talk for a much longer period, for an hour. Sounds like there's a lot there. I appreciate your coming on tonight. Congratulations on the book.
Thanks, Tucker.
There you go. A uniparty elite. If you want to know about the water, if you want to know about water, don't ask the fish, right? We're reminded from time to time. Sohrab Ahmari, the Iranian-born New York Post op-ed editor. You know, Thomas Jefferson told us about this in the notes, in his notes on Virginia, right? I've talked about this many times, immigration. He wrote, you know, people will bring with them the principles of government they leave imbibed in their early youth. If they're able to throw them off, if they're able to throw that off, they will exchange it for an unbounded licentiousness. Believe me, the sociologists have figured that out over the years. Passing, as is usual, Jefferson wrote, from one extreme to another. That is Sohrab Ahmari's experience, just like Jefferson wrote. Jefferson said further, it would be a miracle were they to stop precisely at the point of temperate liberty. Well, guess what, though? Sohrab Ahmari figured it out. Doesn't it sound like he figured it out? And what better casual observer, what better sojourner to tell us than this guy who is coming from a different perspective? He came here for the American dream. Obviously, he's here for the American dream, and, you know, exchanged the old for an unbounded licentiousness, which he admitted courageously, I would say, passing, as Jefferson pointed out, as is usual, from one extreme to another. And he figured it out. A uniparty elite telling us that these traditions need to go away, you know, the cultural Marxist, nihilist, atheist bent. And he says, but you know what? This is causing a problem. This was a brilliant interview. So I really appreciated this interview, and I hope you did too. I'm interested in the book, The Unbroken Thread, Discovering the Wisdom of Traditions in an Age of Chaos. I don't think the kind of the esoteric nature of the title is accidental either. So I think there's more there, and I'm curious to explore that at some point. Hopefully I will. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.